This morning we continue on our whole series, and we're going to tackle the topic of a healthy eye. And I just wanted to say how it amused me, because this morning my eyesight was tested. Just before a moment, I look around, I'm going, where is this little thing? And I'm looking around, and I'm thinking, how healthy is my eye? I can't see it. And then it's good that we are in team, because I asked Steph, so where is it? And he goes, there it is. Let me tell you about eyesight before we jump in. Is when I just, I've been 40 for a while now, but I remember after I turned 40, I've never wore glasses ever. Went for an eye test, and this guy was really, his manners were so good. He said, everything goes downhill after 40. And I laughed at him because I didn't need glasses then. But 2 years later, I was in an elders meeting, and I had a document that I needed to read. And I remember I could not, you know, like how you can adjust? And I just couldn't adjust. Whatever I tried, I couldn't read it. And then I realized I needed glasses. And that was very sad, because now it's always, where have I placed it? Absolutely. That is exactly where it's at. And it's just become very challenging. So before I go on, all our youth, I think they followed, are they staying in or follow David? Yep. So anyone who's here, we see that, in case you're wondering, the rest of the youth is already up at the Fuse camp, so we keep him in prayer. So as we start today, and again, it probably will show my age, but the song that we talk about, our eyesight, was The King of My Heart. You know, we sang about The King of My Heart, but I also remembered Michael W. Smith's song where he says, like, you know, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. So as I'm starting this morning, my heart is not just for us to deliver what has been said, but it's absolutely for us to lean in to host the presence of God, so that the Spirit, which is the enabler for us to see more, that the Holy Spirit will continue to transform us and activate us throughout. So for us to start, is healthy, growing, and full of love. Now, you may have heard that statement, Jeff. Sounds familiar? And interesting enough is how, and again, here you have permission to stop me, tell me, I don't understand the jumps. I am happy to be interrupted and explain. So as I was leaning and preparing for today, and I read about the eye is the lamp, and a healthy eye gives a healthy body, my mind immediately jumped to, oh, hang on, is there a connection to our vision statement? And that was just sitting in the back of my mind. And as we read through all the other bits, which I hope to explain to us today, showing how a healthy congregation or a healthy community is, or when it's healthy, growing, or full of love, what it means. So I went back, and for those who are new, the vision of Coast Community is healthy, growing, full of love. We want to see a body that is healthy, growing, and full of love. And we see this, that we want to also, if you go through, as we partner with Jesus, that's part of our mission. And then we go we want to equip the body, we want to empower the body and encourage people to have a go. And that's all known to us. It's on our website. If you look, it's right in there. But then it also goes on in terms of, you know, we want to see the body of Christ. And you see there's also this little tagline. It's called follow, gather, go. Now, I want you to just keep that in your mind, because we will refer back to this whole the whole thing in our process. But the challenge for us is, over time, any gathering, no matter if it's a church or a soccer club or a tennis club, who wants to be healthy, growing, and full of love, can become very organizational centric. It's about the future, the preservation of its own future. And when it's under threat, it goes into maintenance mode, survival mode, and its way of operating, even though it uses the same words, is significantly different. And so for us this morning, what we are talking about, a healthy growing full of love, we're asking ourselves, what does it mean for us, this Coast community? And one of the things I do want to tell you that I'm stoked about is that this congregation, this campus, has a group of people, which we know is like our Tumri Ministry Committee, who meets every week. And what I love most about it is throughout these weeks that we meet on a Wednesday, the one night we ask ourselves, not just about healthy growing full of love, but it asks the question, not only of Coast Community, but what would it look like if postcode 2261 was healthy, growing, full of love? How would this 13 suburbs look like if it was healthy, growing, and full of love? What I loved in that moment is how it transformed and reshaped the way we approach what we were doing. See, if we are just church-centric, a church have got a couple of ways in which it tries to validate itself. It's called bums, bucks, and buildings. So as long as we've got bums in the seat, we've got bucks in the bank, and we've got buildings to show, we can validate and we can go, okay, we've got enough bums to pay the bucks, to maintain the buildings, and therefore we are healthy, growing, and full of love. Right? Can you see the danger? What we are aiming at reframing this whole perspective is, what would it look like if our whole community was healthy, growing, and full of love? We see the whole thing and then look back, and what part does Coast Community play in bringing that, contributing, engaging with that? And the way we then see is a healthy picture of the King of my heart. And what we are bringing into this space as we follow Gather Go is recognizing the areas where we are not necessarily aligned with God, where fear is greater than our faith. And that's an amazing picture. That's how we are courageous in that space. But as we go on, let me read the scripture for this morning. So the Father, the text that we are covered today, last week we talked about treasure, but this today I'll just add, I'm tagging the last bit of last week on because it's all part of one section that Jesus gave us. So for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Take a note of the word heart right there. We were referring back to that. That's part of the picture. Then Jesus goes on, he says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And no one can serve two masters. Either you will have the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Now, I'm trying a new technology and it works. There you go. So we have read that, and that is a well-known passage. I know we have read that for over and over again. Do you know what I really I love when you are engrossed in that space? In my YouVersion Bible app this morning, the day verses, they talk about, those who are pure in heart, for they will see. And I'm like, hang on, Jesus, you have just revert this right back. So when we have the Beatitudes, we can see this as an outwork of that as well. So as we go about, we also then, what I have done is to show us that what I've recognized in this space is heart, the eye is part of the body, and then in the third part, you serve as part of your mind. So you could see the heart, body, and mind. And what I have done is I've put them in a little bit of a bracket there, three little blocks in there for us just to drag them out a little bit. The first part is for where your treasure is, that your heart will be. And we'll talk about that. Your heart is part of your identity. In our spaces of your follow, it is I call it my inner dinosaur. It's that primitive part that's got neither reason or logic. Think about it on a day when, how many of you, when you're upset, get really calmed down if your spouse said, calm down? You know, like, when we're in a constructive conversation, oh, my wife and I, like Marguerite, and she tells me to calm down, or when I tell, like, when I tell it to her, she always calms down, right? No, it just doesn't work that way. And what I'm, the point of first part that I want to recognize is that out of our identity, the second part comes out. The eye is the lamp of the body, and notice that it's a singular eye. It's not talking about eyes, because you don't see, you see with both your eyes, but you see one picture. You can't look different, like it's one picture. So therefore, it's the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. And if then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And then the talks about, that's the eye, that's talking about our relationship, our body. And then the third part is, no one can serve, that's our action, two masters. Either you will hate the one and love, take note of the word love, which that agape love, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. So what we're going to do today is to challenge and recognize, to see how often what we do in our daily lives, and I've been of that past, I would separate my faith and my works. I would compartmentalize my life, right? So I would come to church, and I look amazing in the follow space, raise my hands, I clap out of time, I do all those kind of things, and I do them well in this space. But then when you move on, it's almost like there's this separation between my faith life, my work life, but then also my home life, my... And you are running in these different compartments in terms of the way we live. And the call for us is in this space, what I hope you to see is when the eyes of our heart and our mind are healthy, there is this integration of faith and works so that we walk and talk and be the same as we are in every space. There's a continuation of who you are regardless of your circumstances. And so what I want to do first is I will, you know, leave the process to last and first start with healthy. So that is talking about the eye, the lamp of the body. And in here, now, I've got a couple of notes where I said, okay, I could have titled this sermon differently. This sermon could have been titled, "You Should Have Gone to Specsavers." I thought that was funny. And that's right. Oh, of course. Sorry. What's the company? Yes. All right. I just brought in. Okay. You should have gone to Soul Savers. All right. It's the wonderful thing about seeing is the picture that we are having here. And I just had this incredible time, and I wish I had time to show you how the word seeing in this space is being utilized. So it's not just the ability to see, but it's the ability to see the unseen. It's to note the invisible. And what this word is meaning, it in the context that it's been used, is also when the centurion saw Jesus die and he saw the earthquake and he saw that, and he said, surely this was the man of God. It is that experience, that encountering of Christ in that space. When you see that moment, this seeing is that, if you are gathered here today, and this is one of the greatest things, but that is greater than what I've said, our bums, bucks, and buildings. It is that relationship, that moment, that experiencing, that encountering of who God is. And I mean, if you look at Hebrews 11 talks about, now faith is confidence in what we hope for, and listen to this, an assurance of what we do not see. When you read 2 Corinthians, it said, you can see the unseen. And then I read a book and it said, we have been created with the ability to see beyond what is in the physical. When we are recognizing that we are not just physical beings, that we operate in a supernatural realm, we recognize that our battle is also greater than our physical moments. And that helps us to recognize that there is a greater story taking place than what we see. But here's the thing. If my eyes are limited, if my eyes are not well, a mate of mine had cataracts. And he said at some point he was driving really by faith because he couldn't see well. And I'm like, mate, he was the only one in the family that could drive. So he was driving, and sometimes he relied on his wife to say, hey, there's a car. It was really, really bad. And when his eyes, when it was cleared out, I asked him, so what's the difference? He said, I aged overnight. But here is the beautiful thing, the picture that we have with us. Like when our eye is the lamp of the body, is that sits in the relationship of where we're at, right? It's actually the picture when you have the eye that as the lamp of the body, it is that connection that of Psalm 119 that talks about that the eye is the lamp of the body. It's not a spotlight. It's not the ability to go right back, but it's enough for us to know where to take our next step. It feeds who we are. It feeds what we do. And it also informs the rest of the body. Can you imagine running with your eyes closed? It's a bit scary. When you're allowed to open your eyes and you can see what is going on. But this is also greater than the physicalities, because if we are in this space, and he's talking to the whole body, he's not just talking to the individuals, but if a church who is healthy, who is able to recognize, if you think about what this text was in the Hebrew, the word was like an idiom. He was not giving him medical advice, but he was actually talking about a healthy eye talks about the generosity of a person. The healthier your eye, the greater you can see, the more generous you become. So when Jesus was talking this, he was really giving them an idiom. He was talking about the whole opportunity is the greater your eye can see, the more compassion you have, the more love, the more recognizing. And so one of the greatest tests of a church, of any in this space, when we say we want to be healthy, we want to contribute to the health and the growth of our community, the question is then how generous are we as a people? Generous in terms of our compassion, our love, our engagement, generous in the ability to accept the difference in the other person, the ability to recognize as a spouse that maybe something, you know, like the difference of who we are. I know I'm not a detailed person, and that can drive detailed people nuts. My wife affirms that. Exactly. When we come, and we can recognize, I just recognize, this is the point where we become aware. What I have become aware of is the fact that is in the past, I would judge detailed people. Where's your faith, right? I want to go this, and then someone said, but what about this, 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 and that? I'm like, my counter argument was. But what I realized, I had some cataracts of my own eye in which I was judging because, you know, the less you see, the more you go into survival mode. And you want to do things, but you do things out of fear instead of faith. The more you can clear your eyesight up and you get allow this to happen, when I'm in that good space, what Jesus is referring to is the fact that when you're in that space of peace, you have compassion. You can tolerate, you can engage with. You don't take, this is the other thing, is you don't take the opinion of someone else personal. And I think that is a generous, and I love the way that it's described. It's not just what you're doing, it is who you are, your being. So you can do generous things. So this is not about giving everything away. Jesus said you can give everything away and you can still miss out. But it's about the being, the generosity. Now the opposite of that is also true of a healthy is the darkness is what they were in the Jewish mindset was the opposite of a of healthy or a good eye is a bad eye, which was a greedy person and or a self-obsessed one where the KPIs is only to meet their own success, so to speak. And this is the challenge to us as a church, again, you know, for us to be healthy, growing, full of love. The next part of growing is, he goes then on to say, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be. And this is one of the great things that I have found is, just think about this for a moment. How many of us think with our heart? Like, if you read about this or you're seeing the king of my heart, do we really mean the physical pumping heart? Or is it also an idiom that talks about a greater picture? And I always remind myself that when we're talking about the growing where your heart is that fear skews your perspective. And so this heart, the picture that God uses when he talks about your heart, is actually translated as your inner self. And I've had this big journey of jumping, and everywhere it's talking about the heart, it talks about the inner self of man. And when you start thinking about this, I go back into my follow space, my identity. What drives my identity is only shown when I'm in relationship, because it puts it under pressure. In my follow space, when I gather with God and I do all this, you can have all these great habits, but unless it's tested in relationship and you can see whether there's grace, whether there is genuineness, whether there's, that's the only place to make it real, to be able to recognize that as well. And so in this, for your treasure is, there your heart will be. What he's saying is, where your treasure is, there your inner heart will also be. So when you look at growing, and again, I refer back to what a coach community could be. If our KPIs is certain, we have certain things, and over time it can change, anything can change towards survival, so to speak, you'll recognize the difference in the way your heart is operating. It becomes out of fear and not faith. And so the greatest test in this whole process is to continuously test for that, is to keep leaning into spaces of our inner self. What is that in our inner self that is being pressured? And that talks about the identity of who we are. And one of the things I've learned is, and I refer back to as your inner dinosaur, is when that inner dinosaur gets agitated or when it's under threat and fear skews our perspective, you'll find that it will react. And so what Jesus is saying is, where your treasure is, where your hope is, where your security is, there your heart will be. I've just shared with Trish this morning when our old church was right across a mosque. And my approach visiting to the refugees would be to save these guys back into Christ. And I realized that later on, I did so out of fear. I realized that my motivational driver for helping them was expecting them to come to church. If I was honest, I expected them to leave the mosque and join my church. Again, bums and bucks. And I would not have articulated this transparent then, because I was genuine in the way I was going. However, my genuineness was limited by what my eyes saw. My treasure was an outcome. And the beauty of this is, as we engage in our community, as this eyesight of us are increasing and healthy, the test throughout that is of when our heart's desire, when the treasure of a community is to align with the Father's heart, we will see a healthy, generous person, a group of people who engages, retaining relationships over outcomes. See, most often when we are under pressure in a conversation or I can't talk on your behalf, I push for outcomes at the cost of relationship. When a church is not healthy, it seems it's growing is in outcomes. And even our theology, our doctrine, our relationships, everything we do, when that shift is taking place, when the treasure of the heart of a community is in whatever it defines, it will make demands on its people and its community to get there. When you recognize that, you'll see it withdraw from community. When our community's heart's desire, the treasure is that of Father's heart, you see the reverse of which we are continuously becoming the light in this community. It lays down the expectations, it's transparent about that, and it honors relationship. And by doing so, when you see the first church, what happened? The Lord added daily. Their goal was not adding. Their goal was not to get more and more people to do X, Y, and Z. And so in this whole space, when our hearts are gathered here, the purpose of gathering is not for us to go and evangelize or hang up and hang on in the greatest of preaching or the worship. It is to host the presence of who God is. And the more we are allowing the presence of God to shine that supernatural light into every aspect of our being and to break down these compartments us and unify us, that security that we sing of, when God the Father becomes again that King of the heart of Coast Community, we will continue to see a growth that expands into the community, of which a people would say that regardless of whether they agree with Jesus or not, they've noted that there is something different. And may I encourage you that it's already visible. It's already there. We see these seeds continue budding. I had a conversation with one of the guys across the road, just asking him, you know, how would a community look like if it was healthy, growing, full of love? And he still recognized that something is going on here. And I want more of that for us as a community. But also, when you go on and you then, the last point is full of love. I love that last part. So, healthy, I can't do two things at the same time. And full of love. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one, love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Now, interesting enough is, this is the last bit where we talk about full of love. It's actually the go part. It's the activation part. It's the fruit part. It's where people can see. So if we do a fruit to root test, this is the fruit that we can recognize. What I didn't know and I've only recognized it this time around, is it says you cannot serve both God and money or mammon. Now, historically, before mammon was mammon, apparently mammon was where it was not a god. It was like we have bankers, we have wealth creators. People go to wealth creators. So people would go and they have them stored at that place. But over time, it became a god. It became who they, so in the first part, they entrusted their wealth to these wealth creators. And then at some point, they trusted the wealth creators as God. You see the shift? And we can do so much of that even in our own lives, even in our churches, where we can be entrusted with something as a steward. And at some point, we can shift our trust to make it a God. And so for us this morning, is the question is, again, it's so easy to say, you know, who is the king of your heart? Who is all this? But I have found it was one of my biggest struggles in church. It's like, for me personally, it's like, Lord, I love you. I love my wife, I love my kids, I love the church. I serve the church, but why am I often so paralyzed with anxiety? Or why would I be so angry when I don't get what I want? Or why would I be panic struck? I would go in my office and I would just have this full-on panic moment. And I'm like, I could not follow, gather, go together. I'm like, Lord. And one of the greatest things when God was showing to me is that, like, in the full of love is about your master. You know, he showed me that deep down, in the root of my fruit, deep down in my root, I just didn't trust God enough. And he was amazing in that process, gracious. I love the way that he enabled me to recognize the voice of the enemy over his voice. If ever you notice, and just ask yourself, it feels like an accusation or it feels a guilt, it's not of him. You know what I've been practicing is you and I wanted to have, again, if I engage in a constructive conversation with whomever, it may be my wife, it may be anyone else, in the morning or in the moment, I've asked myself, is my tone accusing or loving? And that was quite humbling, because if I slow down long enough, 99% of the cases, when I wanted to drive my point, when I wanted to get my way, there was an accusing tone that sat within there. And I had to ask myself in comparison, what did Jesus do? Isaiah 53. He went to the cross. We've all gone astray. And yet he did not raise his voice. Yet he did not try to prove his innocence. But he took it on for the sake of our glory. How amazing is that? That's the invitational space for us today that I want to continue to invite in us in. As a body, as Coast Community, as we lean into the space of being healthy, growing and full of love, is to be able to recognize how our root, our follow, is tested in our gather, the way we bring us together, and an opportunity to recognize how we are going. And in all of this, there's an opportunity for us to lean in. And as we bring us all into one space to increase our witness, because our witness is an evidence, if it's an evidence of hosting the presence of God. And you think about this, the Holy Spirit's presence upon us walks with us everywhere you go. And he's got that still prompting. Have you ever got the name that's dropped in your head? Or something that is, oh, when you lean in, most often the Spirit just prompts us in those little voices. What it does, it enables us to recognize our community. It helps us to bless postcode 2261. It helps us to bless our businesses. It helps us to recognize the broken in our community. That helps us to recognize the fatherless, the single moms, the abused. It helps us to recognize those things that we would otherwise have just walked past. Now, the last thing before we have communion, the most powerful way for me, what the Spirit does is remember Elisha's. So in the Old Testament, Elisha was walking, they were under attack, and you had this servant of him, and the servant was petrified. He was looking and he was like, there's no way how we can fight any of this. There's no way I can take on my life circumstances because it's overwhelming. It's no way we as a church can take on any of this. It's overwhelming, right? I love that supernatural moment when Elisha just said, open, let his eyes see. And that inner dinosaur of him, when the king of his heart, when God opened that eyesight and he saw the heavens and the angels and things around him, how do you think the confidence, the heart, the reframing was to that servant? Was he more anxious or less anxious? Same for us. Let me pray for us. Jesus, you give us tools to help recognize those things that sit in our roots. And sometimes it means, like we've gone to an optometrist, that we need to see people to help us in that space. It means that we draw back deeper into you on our knees through prevailing prayer. Lord, I know that in, like David was praying, you know our heart, search my anxious heart. You allow the Holy Spirit to dig into the heart of who we are as Coast Community. But out of that, Lord, we also recognize the opportunities to grow, to seek forgiveness, to be transparent, to be grace-based, mercy-based. Because those who love mercy will be shown mercy. Lord, because of your death on the cross, the mercy that you have shown us, let that be evident in our lives, showing mercy to others, enabling us not to take the words and the actions of the world personally, but in the same way you have done, for the joy set before you, to endure whatever cross comes our way, because we are part of the greatest story, not only for then, but as every moment of today, right now. You are with us. And so we, as the word's been saying, you're good. You're good. In Jesus' name, amen. I love the way that as we engage in this space, and again, if you've got any questions or so, please have a conversation. The ability to recognize some of these things is the journey of awareness, and it is such a joy, and it's an expansion of God's love for us. That's the wonderful thing is. And let me show you how, and I didn't even know that until recently when, as we now engage in communion, that unity between us, how to recognize the amazing giftings that sits within us as a body of believers, as the bride of Christ, and how in this space, how much he has for us and with us. And so this morning, one of the things that I really took note of is the word love that was used in that space was the agape love, where your treasure is, that's your agape. That is one thing that you love most. So in my heart, I love my wife most. I bring that in space. Or when that love is greater than anything else. What I want to show you today, in the way that we engage with our community, with our children, with the people that we come across at the work in progress for me, the people I come across when they cut in front of me, even yesterday, I just have like, it's a work in progress. When Jesus reinstated Peter, Peter came from an incredible moment of guilt, so much so that he went back fishing. He think, I'm done. Jesus can never ever use me again. He was convinced of that. And then I love the way when Jesus said to him, Peter, do you love me? And again, and he said, and Peter said, you know I do. And again, he said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, you know I do. The one thing I didn't know is, like, in English, we have love, love, love. I love my wife, I love my kids, and I don't love them the same way. What Jesus was saying is, do you agape, love me? And Peter responded saying, no, I fillet love you. Like, I can see that. But it's a different type of love. It was not as intimate. And again, Jesus said, do you agape love me? Do you love me the way that, you know, the Father's agape love has been poured out over us? And Peter said, I fillet love you. And then I love this. And this was such a beautiful discovery. The third time Jesus said, do you fillet love me? And Peter said, I do. The beauty and the grace of Jesus is stating who he is, stating his love and his desire for us, and yet meet us where we are at. If we can just remember that moment when we engage with people, wherever they are, whoever they are, to be able to do so, that kingdom identity, the love that we bring into a space, enables us to meet, allow the Spirit to meet people where they are, no matter who they are or how they are. So as we go into this week, as we share this communion today, let us meet each other with the desire for agape, but in the space of fillet, in the space of I love you, in a way that God loves you, and He will meet you right where you are and then take you on a journey. Together we are all on a journey. Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, thank You that Your love is poured over us. It is, we are immersed in that space. Today, as we sang that You are a good, good Father, we pray that You could see that to be the King of our heart. Lord, You open the eyes of our heart. Help us in that emotional core of who we are to recognize the beauty, the agape, the intimacy of Your love for us. And out of that, no matter where we are, let it be poured out as we engage with the world around us. Lord, give us a healthy eye that has compassion, that has grace, that will see growth, that is generous, that is genuine. And as we do so, that we are partnering with You to build up Your church, Your bride. Lord, thank You that in You we are healthy, growing, and full of love for what You have done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you now to come and feel free as you use communion to do so in community or by yourself. Or if you recognize someone else, go sit there. And we'll give you space to participate in the joy of communion with God.